Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about promiscuity. And interesting that the statistics are now saying that women are much more promiscuous than men. Why this is the case, why sometimes people get into promiscuity, being a little easy, as it were, and what the numbers actually say, and kind of how this got started. And I found it interesting. Some are a little bit older, some are a little bit newer of what I'm going to read, but they're all statistics, and statistics may change with time, but usually they get different, but in this case, I think they've gotten worse. And I didn't really see anything that touched on the same thing that's newer, because heaven forbid you actually say that somebody having many partners is promiscuous or bad, because shame on you. But what I found interesting is that they don't know if it is if you are a sad person and you're insecure and you have problems, so you become promiscuous, or you're promiscuous and that causes you to be sad and have other problems. It's kind of a chicken or the egg, which came first kind of thing. So let's get reading here and we'll kind of dive in this a little bit. First one's from 08. Yes, it's older. Yes, they reference Sex in the City. I have to be careful how many times I say some of these words. So, and if I talk about being very, very sad, I'm talking about depression, those two words together. Because, you know, YouTube, it is what it is. So I have to do my dance. I tried to look up newer statistics, and I have found statistics that are newer than 2008. The last study I looked at was about 1.5 years old. I already referenced it in another video, so I'm not going to go over that, but it shows the numbers are even worse than they were in 08. But I like, this is written by Paul Sims, and I think he kind of sums it up pretty well, so let's go over it, and then we'll move on to the other things. Being bold and brazen in the bedroom won Carrie Bradshaw and her friends a legion of female fans, but viewers who think the Anything Goes antics in Sex and the City is fiction perhaps should think again. Life, it would appear, is more than a match for art. Young women are becoming more promiscuous with more partners than men, research has found. By the age of 21, they've had an intimacy with an average of 9 people, 2 more than their male partner, and a quarter have been with more than 10 partners in the 5 years since losing the big V their first time, compared with a fifth of young men. Now, I pulled up the statistics on this in one of my older videos, and it showed that some women are now rolling into the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, with one talking about a girl that was talking about being with 100 partners by the time she was finished being college age. And we talk about, I'm not going to rehash this either, but I talked in another video about how the differences are chemically in the brain, men versus women with multiple partners. So there is a difference between the two. I'll get into more as we go along here. Young women are also twice as likely to be unfaithful, with 50% admitting that they have cheated on a partner.
She was really a nasty freak.
Half, at least twice. Yet if their man was caught being unfaithful, 99% of the 2,000 women surveyed said they would show him the door. So 50% admitted they had cheated on a partner. 50%. And half of them, which is, I guess, half of the 50%, so 25% of that, 25% of the total. Let's try math. 50% of 50%, which is 25% of all women, at least twice. So 50% of women cheated once, 25% cheated twice or more. Yet, if their boyfriend did it, 99% would break up with him and kick him out. And see, to me, that's, again, some narcissism. That is a tendency to not hold others to your same standards, or you holding yourself to the standards you put on others. But again, it just shows you the little value that they put on their guy. Because if they really valued him, either A, they wouldn't cheat, or B, they'd say, well, yes, I admit it, I'd do it. And if he did it, we'd have to have a talk and we'd have to figure things out. Nope, I would do it, but he's not allowed to. So again, that's kind of showing the value that they put in their men. The survey for More magazine also found that women crave more intimacy, but still believe men enjoy it more than they do. We probably do, but they crave it more, but it certainly doesn't seem to be from their men, because I know I was always seeming the one to be like, hey, it's about that time of year again, you know? The survey follows a U.S. study earlier this year that found that teenage women who watch a lot of TV shows with a high intimacy content, or tension, I guess, intimacy tension, such as Friends and S in the City, are twice as likely to become pregnant. So the researchers for that concluded one problem is that these and similar programs glamorize intimacy while hardly mentioning its downsides, such as pregnancy, STD, etc. So, you know, this is, again, they always show the positives out of it, but there's never a, hey, you may damage yourself. You may find men may not be attracted to you. You may find that this may have long-term detrimental effects. I know men are told this, you know, when we join the military, especially, it's, hey, you may be overseas. You may be in a lot of areas where women are very accessible, and sometimes it may only cost you a couple of bucks to make them accessible. Be careful, because the funk is out there. Lisa Semorowski, editor of More, suggested that there will be no turning back for today's young, confident women. Our results show that after decades of lying back and thinking of England, today's 20-something women are taking control of their bedroom lives and getting what they want in bed. And why not? Well, we've talked about why not, the mental problems that can bring forth. And the article I'm going to read after that identifies that and touches on that. Intimacy is a great and free way to relax, unwind, and have fun in today's fairly stressful society. The survey found more than half of women were not in love with the person with whom they lost their big V. The first time, more than half were not in love with that person. So why did they give it up? Either hormones, or maybe he was the bad boy, or he was good looking, or maybe he convinced her into it. But either way, it wasn't somebody that they cared for. I have to admit, as a guy, the first one, I didn't care for her either. I was just incredibly happy it was happening. And only 32% believe love to be an important factor before having intimacy. So 1 in 3. 7 out of 10 confessed to having a one-night stand, and a fifth had enjoyed more than five. So these are not even short-term relationships. They're just one-nighters. 1 in 4 said they would marry for money. There you go, guys. 25% just money. 1 in 4 said they would marry for money, while 39% would sleep with their boss for a promotion. Unbelievable. So 40% would sleep with their boss for a promotion. And if you're a boss out there, don't fall for it. This is how you end up getting in trouble. And 27% would have an affair with a married man, while 14% would sleep with their best friend's partner. The study was carried out to launch Moore's A Safe Intimacy campaign, which starts this week, found that almost a fifth of the young women surveyed had contracted an STD.
I loved a woman who wasn't clean.
Yeah. While 21% had been persuaded by a man not to use protection when they wanted to. Now, that's not smart for either the guy or the girl, especially if you don't know the person. On top of that, what if you got her and got her pregnant? That, you know, one night stand now may cost you, you know, 100 grand, 200 grand in child support. Okay, my next article. Masking loneliness behind promiscuity in women. Now, if you do a web search, not Google, because I don't like Google, but if you use DuckDuckGo and you do a web search for promiscuity and youth, or promiscuity and mental disorder or sadness or whatever, the list unerringly shows mostly women. And I think that's because when women, men are most attractive when they're confident, when they're secure, when they're braggadocious, when they're a little bit full of themselves. It may not necessarily make them a good catch, but they're certainly garner more attention that way. Not many guys that are deeply sad come off as that way. They usually come off as pretty deeply sad. So women aren't attracted to that. However, women that are deeply sad, really doesn't much matter to a guy if she goes click, click, and shows her bobs and says, hey, you want to do it? Guys will be like, I thought you were bummed out. And if she says, yeah, I am, but still, a guy will be like, yeah, all right. Because that's, you know, that's men's wiring. They're more visual, where women are more attracted to a man's personality and his presence. So when these studies and many of the things that I came across were basically saying, look, women can be in a bad place, but since it's their looks, they can put on some makeup, they can put on a cute outfit, go out and be like, hello, flirt, and get the job done, where men can't. Men do not have nearly the same ability if they're a only slightly better than average looking guy. So the women that are able to go out and do this a lot of times will do so to mask unhappiness. They say toddlers are great teachers. If you watch them closely, they will show you a crystal clear picture of fulfilling urges and meeting emotional desires. They do it in a way that isn't subtle, doesn't use the clever, socially acceptable, or justified deceptions that we adults use. One moment the toddler screams in pain, and the next they're clinging to a parent, or they feel sad and pursue a grown-up, or a beloved blanket with which to snuggle. They may be hungry and grab for the cookies. All in all, sophistication and tolerance are nowhere to be seen in most toddlers. Now, I know a lot of you guys say that women are basically just grown-up children and that they don't handle emotions much differently than children are. I haven't looked into any studies of that. I do know that every relationship I've ever been in, she is always more emotional, more reactive to both positive and negative stimulus with emotions, more than me. Now, is that with all men? I don't know. But I know my relationships have certainly been like that. So there may be some credence to it. They say adults fare little better when they attempt to hold urges and feelings at bay. The prevalence of addiction, depression, anxiety is more to a testament of how poorly we cope. Our mental health isn't as simple or stable as we generally like to think. Intimacy issues abound, and we seek many ways to stem our problems. Intimacy is just one, and it makes sense when you stop to think about it. If your problem feeling is loneliness, then wouldn't it make sense to find a warm person to hold and experience the pleasures of intimacy? And I think they make a good point with this, because if you think about it, if I'm feeling alone, if I'm feeling bummed out, and this it hasn't been like this for many years for me, but there was a time where if I felt alone, I didn't feel like I was valued, I didn't feel like people found me attractive, or that I was just kind of in a bad place, there's not much I can do about it. I mean, I can go out to a public place, but a lot of times unless I strike up a conversation or something happens, a lot of times you can just end up being the single guy sitting at a bar, feeling even worse about yourself because you see people around you having fun and you're not a participant in it. But what if you're a woman? What if you're a woman and you can put on a cute outfit, you can put on some makeup, you can go out, you have a couple of libations to relax a little bit, well, guys are probably going to flirt with you, and you can flirt with guys, and all of a sudden you're getting attention. Now, the problem is this attention is basically because the guy just wants to get in her pants, but having that attention poured on you can make you feel less lonely. Now, again, I can't speak from firsthand because I've never dressed up in a hot little black mini dress and gone out and had a guy buy me drinks. But that's kind of what they touch on here a little bit. Why do individuals become promiscuous? Our past pain and struggles set us up to view the world through specific lenses. Some lenses suggest intimacy is power. Other perceptions may be that an emotional connection can be solidified through intimacy, or that intimacy equates fulfillment or multiple other views. If this is the case, then the stage is set for promiscuity. From these examples, you can quickly determine that most promiscuity isn't solely about the bedroom, although the bedroom pleasure certainly can be the draw. Rather, there is a more complex picture occurring. There's been much academic conversation about the female intimacy addiction or promiscuity. And again, I think this boils down to you know, when you look at a lot of the statistics come out, especially since the bug came out recently, when you look at it, it talks a lot about young men offing themselves, ending themselves, self-deleting, taking themselves off the planet because they feel lonely, they feel bummed out, they feel like they don't have a long-term positive outlook. Well, women are having the same problems. The difference is because they're more social, they get more attention, and here's the thing. When they're in that place, they can go out and get attention. Even if it's attention for the wrong reasons, they can get attention from men. And this falsely bolsters their self-esteem. Well, it's like anything. If you drink to get your mind off of your problems, when you wake up, you have the hangover, you don't feel well, you drink some water, you rehydrate. And then I know when I was in my 20s, I could go out every night and probably drink to excess. I can do it like once every 5 days now. But as a young guy, you'd go out, you'd knock a couple back, and the next day you can do it all over again, and you can repeat that process because it kind of gives you some escapism. Well, what's happening with women is it become an addiction, because when the high is over of having this attention and having a guy fawn on over you and tell you, oh, you're so sexy and do all these things to you, the next day or two, reality sets back in and she's sad and she misses that and she's not getting the attention anymore. So again, now she's posting on social media the cute pictures. You can, if you go to Reddit and look at any of the not safe for work NSFW forums, you've got women that are posting their pictures in nothing, in very compromising positions, for a couple of likes and a couple of comments. And you say to yourself, you're bearing your soul. I mean, you're bearing everything you got just for a couple of likes. Why? It's because they need that validation to make them feel better. And I would less say it's addicting, it's more escapism. They continue on. Two key ideas are the following. Firstly, that many women have learned to use intimacy for the sense of power and control in the building of self-worth, right? And we see this many times, especially with women like, oh, I'm on OnlyFans, and look at all these men fawning over me, and they pay me money. That gives them power, it gives them control, it gives them money. And so they use this, and it does build their self-worth. The second is that the family trauma, little or large, that creates ruptures in relationships or intimacy issues leave a painful gap that intimacy pleasure appears to fill. And again, like I said, that attention. And if you look up codependent narcissism, and I don't know if I'm using the exact words right, but there's overt narcissism, and then there's covert narcissism, which is the hidden narcissist. Those are the ones usually that will use intimacy, love bombing, oh wow, you're such a great person, and you get sucked in thinking, hey, this might be a great relationship, she seems really into me. You get sucked into that, but really what she's doing is setting you up to make you a narcissistic feed for her, giving her validation. They say, either way, the purpose of intimacy is the same: relief. It is a rapid movement towards intimacy, seeming to be an antidote to any discomfort that is felt. How is loneliness masked by promiscuity? So what about loneliness? How is this particularly masked by promiscuity? Intimate pleasures can provide a rush of oxytocin, dopamine, and more neurochemicals that create ecstatic feelings of connection and pleasure. If you were feeling lonely, wouldn't that combination be wonderful? Connection and pleasure. Here's the mask. A woman can find mental health stabilizing effect from promiscuous intimacy because of the physical effects created. Sadly, when the neurochemicals and the excitement fade, you are left with the same problems with which you started. And this is kind of what I'm talking about. The girl that offed herself, that ended herself, because she stopped getting as many likes comments on her feed since the bug came out, and she wasn't able to meet up with her real friends, and she started getting into the spiral of deep sadness. It's because she lost that narcissistic feed. Well, it's the same thing. It's used as both a neurochemical rush as well as the attention validation, and when that goes away, you have to do it again. What are the consequences of this behavior? The first consequence of this cycle is you need to find new partners to recreate the excitement and the sense of connection. The same partner doesn't do it because now you already know they like you, that you already know that they're into you, and so it becomes boring. And this is why a lot of relationships are ending after very short periods of time, because that narcissistic excitement isn't fed anymore. Now, this may not necessarily be narcissism, but I link it up to it because narcissists need outside validation to make them feel good. And this is kind of the same similar thing. When you get the same validation, it's like, what's a good example? If you get a new puppy, as an example, or a new cat, you're playing with it, it's exciting, every day is new and it's interesting, but after a couple of weeks and you taking care of it, then it's okay, I have to walk it, I have to feed it, I have to take care of it, and it becomes part of your life. It's not the new puppy, it's just my dog. And you may still love the dog, but it's not the new excitement. And maybe that's not the best way I can relate it, but it seems to be kind of the same thing with this, where it's the new relationship, the new guy that's interested in me. And I know as a guy, if multiple women were to come up to me and go, wow, you're really good looking, I'd love if we could go out. Even if I have a girlfriend, you'd be like, hey, yeah, man, I've got it. And that's a good feeling. Well, the problem is you have to take it to the nth degree to get that feeling. Promiscuity, therefore, can lead to shame, shallow relationships, and labeled as a number of awful terms that I'm sure you could list, like a garden tool used to dig rows, harm to the sense of self, and the ability to build meaningful intimate relationships can be hampered, resulting in what the public often calls intimacy issues, right? Or pair bonding, as we call it. You lose that ability to just enjoy the moment with one person special. It becomes you needing a new cycle. Women in this addiction is often securing pairing, but when this intimacy-seeking behavior becomes compulsive, the addiction is easier to see. Right, so you can get a partner, you can love them, perhaps, you can want to be with them, but they will not fulfill this need, which is why the women step out, why they cheat, as well as hypergamy, looking for a better partner. Loneliness is then never truly addressed. The intimacy addiction is a mental health problem that results in intimacy issues because addiction is self-focused and doesn't allow for the slower cultivation of knowledge and true affection. Furthermore, the overfocus on the intimacy engagement reduces the focus on platonic friendships with either gender. This ultimately serves to keep the loneliness hidden from view, yet still felt at a core level. And this is why I say so many times, like if a woman has this in her past, she has to be willing to say, A, this is my past. B, I'm not proud of it. Here's the problems. Here's why I did it. Here's what my therapist and I talked about. Here's how we came to get through this. Now, you as a guy may say, you know what? I am not okay with you having that many partners. I don't know if I can trust you. I know women that have this kind of past, have those issues. Others may say, hey, as long as a woman says, I've identified it, I'm truthful about it, I've seen a therapist about it, and I've corrected this problem, and it is no longer a part of my past, and I've moved on, some of you may say, I will find that acceptable in some sense or another. That is up to you to decide. That is not up for me or anyone else to tell you if you're okay with that or not. You either are or you aren't. I know some of you kind of get into the chimerism, if I'm remembering the word correctly, chimerism, where once a guy has been there and he has left his DNA behind, it always is part of her because it passes the blood-brain barrier and can be found in other siblings. I did a video on this as well, and turned to find out it was usually because the woman had deleted a child that she was going to have when she was pregnant, and that was the DNA that was left behind. Some people did. I looked at the studies. I did a video on it. It's a long rabbit hole you can go down. And lastly, you can go based on what a doctor has said, which is, you know, when a woman has her monthly cycle, the entire uterine wall sheds and everything is flushed out, and it is basically like a clean room. That is up to you to decide whether you are okay with that or not. But the thing of it is that the woman, in my opinion, the woman or man, either one, has to realize, A, I did it and be truthful about it. B, here's why I did it, because of this, and I've seen a therapist and I've talked to somebody and I now understand the problems that I have and why I'm doing this. And C, I'm over with that. The problem with all that is those are words, and words are cheap. We can only judge others based on their actions, not their words. So you would have to know this person for an extended period of time and be able to see their actions to know if they're being truthful or not. Well, let's face it, you're really not going to be able to do that until you're living long term with somebody and living with them. And even then, many times they will step out on you when you're home and they're out at work or working late or whatever. So, you know, you're going to have to come to terms with whether you want to date somebody like that or not. They say, what should I do if I recognize this problem in myself? Kind of basically what I just said. You need to talk to somebody and go over it. And lastly, I'll touch on this just very quickly because I'm going a little long, what the numbers of intimate partners says about you. And they go down into here what women want, which is they, in the past, people have assumed that men want lots of partners and women just want to fall in love. And that's not the case. I'll leave the link down below if you want to get into this deeper. The genes, now they say genes matter. They haven't found a, quote, a promiscuity gene, but there does seem to be a genetic component in this. What I find interesting is that it also may be a bipolar. It may be the deep sadness. And the interesting thing is they don't know if you doing these actions or what makes you sad, or you become sad and you find this, the intimacy and having lots of partners as the way that you try to work your way out of it. That's the chicken or egg. They haven't found out which is which. People that have more people that have more partners have more friends because you're socially out there. But the truth is, are they really friends, or are they just looking at people maybe to take advantage? That is a good question. That's the question I ask. Promiscuity and mental health. They say there's no definitive link, but like I said, it could be one or the other. And then the influences of upbringing, and that will relate back to covert narcissism and the way you're raised and not understanding how love is supposed to properly be expressed. And then, of course, cheating. The higher the promiscuity, the higher the likelihood of cheating and long-term relationships failing. But I'll leave this link down below. I don't want to get into it too far. So there you go, guys. I thought you'd find it interesting that it looks like one of the reasons, given the opportunity, men would be just as promiscuous as women are. Now, would they do it because they want the intimacy? Would they do it because it makes them feel better? Would they do it because we're men and we have that drive with testosterone? Well, they say that women seek it out just as much as men do. So it sounds like actually both people, both men and women, would have it more often given the ability. However, since women can really pretty much put on a cute outfit that shows their assets, so to speak, a little bit of makeup, go out and pretty much hit their target every night that they want to, where men, it's a much more difficult opportunity for us. We have to work a lot harder at it and have kind of luck shine in our favor, unless, again, you're the top 10 or 20% of guys. The fact is that it's not that women are doing it because they want to, or it's basically because they can. They have the ability. So where a guy might say, you know, I'd really like to, but I keep striking out. Well, I'm going to load up a video game. I'm going to open up grab a cold one and maybe have a little bit of cold whiskey. And they escape internally because they don't have that escape externally. So if you find yourself, kind of upset that you're not getting the bedroom action that you'd like, understand that as a guy, it's not the same for us. Number two, that escapism is not going to make you happy. It is just a way to mask the problem or to get away from it for a little while, which is why a lot of times when you have a bad breakup with a girlfriend or something's going bad, you can hang out with some buddies. Maybe you can play a video game. You can go watch a movie. You go out to dinner. You go out and have fun and you're not thinking about it. And then when you come home, you start saying, ah, man. And that starts sinking in again. Find something to get your mind off of things, and I think that'll help. And to the women that are doing this, it seems that all they're doing is damaging their future prospects on actually having a good relationship, and they need to understand what they're doing, why they're doing it. They need to address it and then clean things up, because if they don't, it's just going to get harder for them. Guys, if you'd like to support my work, links are below. As always, if you have, thank you very much. The best way you can support me is like, comment, share, subscribe, and check out my older videos. And don't forget to join me over on betterbachelor.locals.com. We can hang out, have some fun. We've got the forums and all that good stuff over there. Guys, that's it for me. This is Better Bachelor. I'm Joker. Remember, it's not necessarily that women are bad because they do it, because men would do it just as much if they had the opportunity. But the problem is this leaves a trail of bodies behind them that guys seem to understand that they don't want to deal with. They don't want to be compared against that, and they don't want to be with somebody with that kind of past.
Well, hi there, Mr. Clean. Mighty clean. glad to know you. I've got some weekend cleaning jobs. Come in and let me show you. My wife says, Mr. Clean, there's no one who can top you. She's never found a cleaning job that's tough enough to stop you. Let's clean this basement wall. Mr. Clean, you're on the ball. Now clean this brush for me. You're amazing, Mr. C. Let's give the car a...